Hello, everyone, and welcome to Knowledge is Power, your weekly recap of obscure and not-so-obscure news from the internets and beyond.
From New York, I'm Andy Rohrkemper.
And from New York, I'm Greg Rutter. How you doing this week, Andy?
I'm good, Greg. I'm not Eric still.
He is still not Eric. Eric is out of town for the week, so we had our good friend Andy fill in for him again.
And I'm happy to do it.
How you doing? What's going on?
Not much. I've been drinking a lot.
Good. That's always something to pat yourself on the back for.
Yeah, it's something I aspire to do on a daily basis.
It's the weather here has been horrendous.
Yeah, it's been pretty oppressive.
Yeah, that's a good word for it. It's just too much. I'm sweating right now.
Well, you love to sweat, we all know.
I know, that's my favorite thing to do, actually.
Wow, this is odd that we're talking about the weather.
But it's good. I'm glad you were able to kind of fill in at the last minute like this.
No problem.
Appreciate it. So you want to just dive right into it?
All right, let's go.
You got the first story.
All right, my first story is, since I'm serving as a proxy for our good friend Eric, I'm going to update one of Eric's previous stories from a podcast a couple weeks ago. I remember you mentioned a few weeks back that Saddam Hussein had attempted a hunger strike, and he apparently had failed in that he ate a meal. It only lasted like 12 hours.
He ate his foot.
Well, an update to that is that the 69-year-old ex-president dictator of Iraq has succeeded in malnourishing himself. He has continued to be on that hunger strike since last year, talked about, and has gone 16 days without food, has been drinking coffee or some other liquids to get nourishment, but he was hospitalized this past week in a story that got little or no play anywhere.
Yeah, that was good. That kind of, so he's in a hospital right now?
Yeah, he is. This is as of today. He was put in a hospital because he didn't eat anything. And then now they're saying recently that he will be, force-fed and taken back into court.
Well, at least it still marches on. So the earlier report was something that he wasn't eating. He decided that he wasn't going to eat anymore.
Yeah, he and actually I think a lot of his co-defendants were doing the same thing, basically in an effort to, of course, fuck up the trial and make sure that they have problems with getting into court, et cetera, et cetera. It's worked, but not so much because although he may be on his deathbed, they're going to force feed him and send him back and forth.
Make him not be on deathbed.
Yeah. Well, everybody, I don't know. Sometimes I'd rather be on my deathbed than go to court.
So the earlier report of him, I'm on a hunger strike, and then, not anymore, I'm so hungry, after a day, I guess, was either false or he rallied his morals or ethics behind it.
Well, actually, one of his friends came in and said that, if Eric Munn makes fun of me for eating, then the capitalists have already won. And he decided that he couldn't, was fed up with ridicule and decided that he was going to not eat.
So he took it upon himself.
16 days is...
That's a long time.
That's a long time ago. There's no Gandhi.
But who is?
Who is?
Everyone, all these dictators aspire to be Gandhi, and not too many of them actually pull it off. That's a good story. Good story. All right. My first story, Yahoo sells Jessica Simpson's single without DRM. Yahoo announced Wednesday that it would be selling Jessica Simpson's single in MP3 format. In other words, with none of the usual copyright protection coded. Because of the song, a party pop track called A Public Affair has no digital rights management or DRM protection coded into it, it will be compatible with just about every type of digital music player, from the iPod to the iRiver, as well as film, music, and editing programs that may not have been able to read the DRM encoding files. I think this is a big, big deal. The fact that they're just selling it as a straight MP3 without any kind of, don't move this or don't send it to your friends. And I think that's great. I think it's a big step.
Yeah, it's just a shame they had to go with Jessica Simpson.
I know, right? I've never kind of advocated buying a Jessica Simpson song before.
But on principle.
On principle.
In this case, we make an exception.
Jessica Simpson really stands up for the little guys.
There's no DRM whatsoever, so I can basically pirate the song.
So, yes, you can...
Which is still illegal, I imagine.
which is still right. Legal. So you could buy the song. It's $1.99, which is slightly more expensive because they're offering like a personalization with it.
Okay.
They're letting you, if you have a common enough name, you can get a bonus track that says, "Hey Andy, this is Jessica Simpson. Thanks for buying my song. I sure am Southern." Something like that.
What?
Yeah.
Why would I want that?
Like, if you're a 12-year-old idiot, you can get that. So they're selling it for $1.99, which is slightly more for that personalization. But then after that, like, the song is all yours, and you can do with it as you want. You can put it on your iPod, you can put it on your computer, you can burn it to CD, you can give it to your friends, you can send it through email, you can do anything.
Yeah, I agree that I think this is good. I mean, for me, I use my iPod to listen to music. I know you guys talked about this last week, right? You talked about alternative music players and music services other than using iTunes.
Right. Do you buy most of your music?
I buy all of my music. I have, I did pirate music when I was in college. And, I was, yarr. No, I felt guilty about it. I'm kind of a pussy. I didn't like stealing music. So, when iTunes came out, ever since iTunes came out in 2001, I've been using that to buy my music. I can't remember the last CD I bought. I had them given to me. And if you want to give me CDs,
send them.
P.O. Box.
But this is the first time Yahoo really put themselves on the map in terms of digital music.
Yeah, that's an interesting. I mean, you. I don't know. Did you guys talk about this last week about the new iPod killer, the IPK?
Yeah, the.
From Microsoft.
Microsoft.
Interesting. Interesting that everyone's trying to, I think, build up the service around the device.
Yeah, there's lots.
That's the key. I think that's what makes iPods so successful. It's iTunes.
Yeah, it's
is
not,
that it works sort of seamlessly with your iPod. There's DRM all over it.
Yeah, the physical hardware is well designed and, you know, very handy, but the software that comes with it is also equally.
And I think this is where they're going to try and differentiate, is that, you know, the other music services, you know, should Microsoft have one? Yahoo obviously has their own. I know MTV's got one. I don't know if that's part of anything.
I think it's part with Microsoft.
Part with Microsoft. So, I mean, I think they're going to try and differentiate in that they're just going to go with MP3s that aren't digitally right managed.
Managed rights.
and maybe that'll work. I mean, people do want to be able to own their music and do what they want with it.
Exactly.
And it's good for the industry in general because it definitely promotes a competition. Better services, etc., improving the product.
Yeah,
which I like.
I'm curious to see like where this will end up. Like if Yahoo will be like only selling non-DRM'd MP3s, or if they'll switch back, or if this is a one-shot deal, or if Yahoo's even going to be on the map.
Yeah, I think they're clearly testing the waters, right? I mean, this is just one thing. They're obviously trying it out with someone they think is popular. Wrongly or no, they
amazingly
think so.
Like big seller.
Yes. We'll see. I don't think digital right management is that impressive to me. I've never had the need to burn more than 6 copies or whatever it is that I should do. And just last week, I made use of the fact that I can transfer music that I own on one computer to another computer that I have it on my iPod. So that's 3 of the 5 devices I'll have.
TikTok. Using it up. Plus, it doesn't hurt that I really love Jessica Simpson. Next story.
Next
your story.
Story is the Europe plans the European Southern Observatory, science space observatory, plans to build an extremely large telescope. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say a extremely large? I meant the extremely large telescope. That's the name of the telescope that they plan to build. It's a they haven't exactly got all of the size figured out. It's going to be 30 to 60 meters, which is metric for 1,000 feet. 30 to 60 meters wide. It's going to be a giant telescope that they're going to use to, hopefully, they want to be able to see images of planets in other galaxies, other star systems, other galaxies. So, this is interesting to me, only because of
The TELT.
The ELT, the extremely large telescope. And honestly, this is a true part of the story. This replaced a previous, more ambitious goal to build a 100-meter telescope. called the overwhelmingly large case. I love scientists.
Apparently scientists, not writers.
Yeah, the scientists, they're literally what they need. This is like a trend in telescopic.
Telescopery?
Telescopery. Because I know there's an array of radio telescopes, radio wave frequency telescopes in Mexico, I think, in the deserts in the American West, called the Very Large Array.
There you go.
So this is just a great trend.
Is it? But it's they had a similar one with like bombs, didn't they? Because it was the mother of all bombs or something.
Oh right. Yes. MOB.
Do you remember that recently?
Yeah, that was. The government has all these
euphemisms. Apparently the government doesn't want to say, like, fucking huge telescopes.com.
To go. It's honestly...
Honesty and telescopery.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I look for, my telescopes.
Yeah. The, just to keep going with giant telescope words, I think the current largest telescope, there's other groups that are sort of vying to build the largest telescope in the world. And I think this has something to do with why they named them. It's extremely large, overwhelmingly large. And there's another one called the Giant Magellan Telescope being built in Australia.
Giant Magellan?
Yeah.
So the original Magellan was all like, meh, whatever.
Yeah. And then an American group, or a Canadian American group, built it the 30-meter telescope.
It's okay. It's kind of big telescope.
Yeah, but you know what? Honestly, I was exaggerating before when I said 30 meters would be like 1,000 feet. I mean, it's probably closer to like 40. But no, it's not. It's like
isn't it 3 meters? Meters are for idiots.
But it's not that big. It seems weird that you can't build a telescope. I would think the largest telescope.
Isn't the Hubble?
Well, the Hubble's different. These are terrestrial telescopes. And the Hubble is a space telescope.
Right.
It's great because it gets outside the atmosphere. But the Hubble's not that big. Because you can't send big things to space.
Right.
Unless they're like.
Am I stepping on your toes with this?
No, I'm not talking about people. You want to talk about it real quick?
Did you look it up? I know you were trying to look for it. They released an inflatable telescope into space.
No,
the pieces of it, right?
Well, I did some further research in it, so just staying on the science kick for a second, the bonus story.
Nerd bonus!
a group, it's a private group in Las Vegas, of all places, wants to, or they've already started, they're building a hotel in space. A space station in space.
on Earth.
And they're piggybacking on NASA. So they're sending it up with NASA. I imagine they pay them some fee, right, to use their shuttles to get this in space. But they have they're building a space hotel that's inflatable. So they send it up, deflated. And then when it gets there, the more it gets air.
Yeah.
It's tanks of compressed air or something that it uses to inflate this, the different modules of the new space craziness. Space hotel, which is for space tourism. You know, it's like
it's facilitating.
Yeah, it's supposed to switch in Vietnam. I don't know what their planned market date is or anything.
All the things that you can do in space right now.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know how they get around the whole inflatable thing.
Yeah.
So like, what if you? I have enough problems with like.
I've actually read about that. It's made of Kevlar, so it's like kind of impenetrable.
Without penetration.
Without penetration.
It's like abstinence.
Exactly. Virginity. They're calling it virginity one.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. My next story. It's from the Daily News here in New York. It's called, the headline is All Shook Up Over Dakota's Hound Dog. Cute as a button, child star Dakota Fanning, who turned 12 in February, is venturing into sexually disturbing territory in a new movie being filmed in North Carolina. The screenplay, this is serious. The screenplay for Hound Dog, a dark story of abuse, violence, and Elvis Presley in the rural South, written and directed by Deborah Campmuir, I don't know, calls for Fanning's character to be raped in one explicit scene and to appear naked or clad only in, quote, underpants, end quote, in several other horrifying moments. That is the direct recap from Lloyd Groom.
I am weirded out.
I don't even know where to start with this. Why would so they're seeing it as like an Oscar run,
right?
Potential for Dakota Fanning because no one knows who she is.
You're a little D fan.
Yeah, she's D fan.
Yeah,
represent. No, she's. I mean, she's a huge star. Everyone knows who she is. So what had happened? I read deeper into the article. What happened is the movie, like all of her violent rape scenes, have already occurred. Like they've already shot all those, and they're just putting the finishing touches on the end. And they ran out of money.
So, wait a minute. This is a story. It's called Hound Dog.
The movie is called Hound Dog.
This is the story about Elvis Presley?
No, it's a story about a girl growing up in the rural South and like how she finds solace in this terrifying world through the music of Elvis Presley. That's the best description that I got so far.
Well, I should have paid more attention because I thought this was a story about how Elvis had raped her. I was like, oh my god! Greg, I think you just got, you know, a tort lawsuit against you.
I got sued four times, everyone.
Yeah, for the record, Elvis never raped anyone to my knowledge.
To my Yet. I can't confirm nor deny anything. This is a big deal for Dakota Fanning, and this got buried. I think this should have got more news than it did.
Right.
Since she's 12.
I can't believe she's 12.
She seems a lot older.
Yeah. This is really
She seems like 21 in my mind.
No, just she's so, that's the word I'm looking for, able to speak.
Mature.
Yeah, she's very mature. And it actually, this whole Dakota Fanning thing, or child actor thing, in general. I just saw this movie yesterday called The 400 Blows, and it's this like French New Wave.
All right.
It's a French New Wave movie from the late 50s. 60s. And it's about some little, you know, some kid, 12-year-old kid, boy growing up in Paris, and, you know, how his brother's a troubled life. His French New Wave didn't have much of a plot. But they did, the DVD we had, it was like some Criterion DVD, but it had Netflixed. And on it, there was like a special feature where it had an interview, or they had footage of the casting process. And when they called this kid in and talked to him, he was a child actor in the 50s, and his mother was a famous French actress at the time. And he was like, going on and on, like, in the interview process, being, you know, himself or whatever, he was just, like, talking about how, you know, just shooting the shit with some fellow child actor about how, oh, yeah, I grow up in, you know, in my city, my high school, we put on impromptu plays, you know, we just do it, and bam, he's, like, gesticulates all over the place, and he's, like, acting like a total, like, grown up, and he's just, like, 13-year-old kid or whatever, and I'm like, dude, you have to be a little, like, so Hollywood.
Kid is probably messed up. Like, yeah. look at Brooke Shields and Natalie Portman.
Look at Brooke Shields.
Look at her. Let's Google her right now.
I'll Google her.
Even better. Next story, your story.
My next story is Tomahawk cruise missile being transported on I-95 in the Bronx, falls off a truck. So, that's basically the story, but to elaborate a little bit. A truck carrying a Tomahawk cruise missile on I-95 south in the Bronx was rear-ended by another tractor trailer, and the cruise missile fell off onto the highway, and they had to, you know, close the highway down for the hours to fix it. Bomb squad had to come in, etc.
To get a missile on a truck.
Yeah, and it's just crazy to me that a missile fell off of a truck.
Oh, God.
Now, the missile wasn't armed, and there was no ordnance in the missile, so it couldn't have caused it.
I'm sure that there's no, like, explosive
right.
devices.
That, and, you know, they ship these things in, like, 6 inches. You know, to that I made that up, but you know, they ship them in some sort of casing that prevents people from being
cotton
able to
candy. They ship it in cotton candy. Exactly. Actually, that's I've read that.
Yeah,
Google told me that. Dakota Fanning told me that.
And in order to breach the cotton candy cocoon, you need some passcode and et cetera. So, it's not as scary as it at first sounds, but the fact that it was a Tomahawk cruise missile kind of gave me the heebie-jeebies.
Heebie-jeebies in the picture of it. Looks pretty funny. It looks like a giant, like, wrapped up, like...
Wang.
Well, I was going to say it looks like a giant got hit by a car and they were, like, wrapping it up to take it to the ambulance.
Oh, that's true. It kind of does look good.
Like, oh, the brutality. Don't look at it. There's so much blood.
There's nothing to see here. Move along.
Move along. Move along. Kaboom!
Yeah, and then, so I'm just imagining someone being like, you want a missile?
You want a...
You, $5.
Where'd you get a missile from?
Fill up a truck.
No.
Really? It fell off of a truck. So that's for anyone who lives anywhere near New York should be terrified now.
Apparently
there were two. There was a second that we didn't hear about. There's a bogey.
Apparently there's a missile, like, out loose in New York. There was actually a second one on the truck, or you were just making that up?
I made that up. But sorry.
Libel. My next story. Walmart releases The Hub. Have you seen this?
I have not.
Do you follow this at all? It's a quasi-social networking site for teens designed to allow them to, quote, express their individuality. It screens all content, tells parents their kids have joined, and forbids users from emailing one another. Oh, and it calls each other's hubsters, which is a take on hipsters. Just to show how painfully uncool.
Okay, so Walmart launches.
So what Walmart did is trying to connect with kids for, like, the vital back-to-school season. You know, not just like, I have pencils and books here. It's like, you should come here and buy your fucking fashionable clothes.
Wait a minute. So Walmart launches an internet. An internet. They launch on a truck. No, they... So what? This is just basically a social networking site?
Sort of. But you're not allowed to, like, talk to other people. So you're allowed to, like, blog. And you can post your own videos, which they check for, like, you know,
there's indecency.
Indecency. Or anything, actually.
They check for anything. If you post a video that's anything other than silence in a black screen.
Even that might offend them. No, I mean, if you speak out, like...
Against Walmart,
they'll pick it down. If you speak out any sort of anything, like... I don't like Michael because he's a dick. Like, they'll take that down, not because of the swear word, but because you're derogatory towards another person. So
this is a super success.
Yeah, this is wildly popular. But the main page, when you go to walmart.com/schoolyourway, it has four videos. One is from, like, a fashionista girl. One is, like, an aspiring R&B singer from New York. Can't sing at all. I watched these videos. One is, like, a Texas football player. And then one is, like, this quirky skate punk kid. They're very, very clearly actors reading from a script. And, like, oh, hey, now I'm going to show off my shoes. Like, this is a thinly veiled way for me to show off my shoes. It's really... And the fashionista girl. And then, but they're all set up to look like, okay, I'm going to set up my webcam, and we're rolling. Okay, hi, I'm Jane, and this is School My Way. Thumbs up. It's really contrived. So it's getting a lot of really bad press on the net, especially because it's pandering to children and not being transparent.
Right. I mean, isn't there, like, a whole school of thought among advertisers that potentially... Yeah, the moral issues around advertising to children, you know, it's a little dubious, right?
Well, I know on television, there's lots and lots and lots and lots of, like, regulation when you're advertising children. Like, for example, since I work in advertising, one of our spots was going to run during kids' program. And you have to have, if there's any children at all and they're doing any activity, like, hey, I'm on a playground, I'm playing on a jungle gym. They have to be wearing safety equipment. That's an example of the type of regulations.
Right, that makes sense.
You can't have any supers, because kids can't read that well. You can't say, like...
What is a super?
Like, you know, like the voiceover would say, like, now with 25% less sugar, and then over there'd be words written over the screen that say 25% less. So you can't have the writing as a super.
Okay.
Superimpose.
That's so weird. Because kids can't read. Well, but, I mean, all this, these regulations seem sort of, is this all self-regulation? I mean, is this like sort of...
No. The government.
It's so weird.
So, everyone's all upset at Walmart because on the internet they don't have to really apply the same type of regulations.
Standard, yeah. And this is basically to get kids to go back and buy pencils.
Not really to buy. They want them to buy clothes. That's more proper.
Right. And kids have more of a say in what clothes they buy.
Exactly.
Than what pencils they buy.
I want colored pencils.
Yeah. And who cares what pencils you have? The kids aren't really excited to go back to school.
I was. Staples. All right. That's it for news stories.
All right.
Now let's move on to Pimps and Hoes. Pimps.
You sing along.
Pimps and Hoes. Pimps and Hoes.
That was good.
Okay. Pimps and Hoes, those are cool people doing cool things and stupid people doing stupid things.
All right. So my pimp, Greg.
Play it on me.
Is this guy, George W. Bush.
Ooh,
hear me out.
Bold statement.
Hear me out. Listeners, hear me out. So George W. Bush is my pimp because he provides us with a nearly endless supply of hilarious Bushes.
So he's awesome for being unawesome.
Right. And so this week, of course, he famously said the word shit.
Which no one's heard of.
Right.
Would you explain what that means?
I was anticipating that you would bleep this out. This is for children.
Right.
But, of course, this week he had said shit because he was referring to, at the G8 summit, with my friend Vladimir Putin.
It was so weird, by the way.
We'll talk about him in a second. But George Bush said, what we gotta do is we gotta get Syria to get Hezbollah to stop doing this shit, and then we're done. So, which was actually kind of poignant. Basically, what
needs to be happening.
What's what needs to happen is you get people who have power over, who have influence, like Syria and Iran, Hezbollah, to get them to put pressure on them to stop the crazy terrorist attacks and kidnapping Israelis.
Right.
And likewise, you need the friend of Israel, the United States, to put pressure on them to stop.
Bombing the shit out of it.
But, that's a separate point. Anyway, so I wanted to read a couple of other Bushisms that I found.
Okay.
So this is Bush from a couple weeks ago during the whole North Korea scare on the 4th of July. North Korea had launched the Taepodong 2 missiles, etc. Bush says, trying to figure out the political motivations behind Kim Jong-un. I tried over and over, but it almost seemed like those Koreans have a different word for everything. This, literal quote from Bush.
See, that's an old Steve Martin joke.
Exactly.
He's just reusing this. Man, I went to France the other day. I tried to order something. It's like they have a different word for everything.
That's an old Steve Martin joke. Yeah, well, little chestnuts work for Bush as much as they do for you and I.
Little chestnuts.
And another favorite Bush is most different. Bush on affirmative action. What I'm against is quotas. I'm against hard quotas. Quotas, they basically delineate based upon whatever. However they delineate quotas, I think they vulcanize society.
Now, use a lot of $5 words.
What vulcanize means, I think he meant galvanize, but what he said was vulcanize.
Yes, galvanize, I think, is the correct word.
Although, that would have the opposite meaning. But
it's closer.
Vulcanize means to improve the strength, resiliency, and freedom from stickiness and odor of rubber, for example, by combining with sulfur and other additives in the presence of heat and pressure. So what Bush doesn't like about quotas is that they improve the freedom from stickiness of society.
He's got a point. You think about it?
No, he does.
Yeah, really think about that. Okay. All right, my pimp. I just closed it, so I forgot it. And 3, 2, 1, I have a pimp. Here we go. NBC and Netflix. It's a twofer. This week, NBC announced that they would be releasing their, shows from their new fall lineup, including, Kidnapped and Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. 6 weeks early, through on Netflix. So you can go online, if you have a Netflix account, you can go online, add, these NBC shows to your queue, and it'll be sent to you in a certain time period,
and you can check it out beforehand.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
So this is, they're doing this 6 weeks prior to airing
ever.
All of it. They're going to release the entire season? No, or a portion of it? Or one episode?
The first episode.
Oh, the first episode on DVD.
And it attempts to, like, get people excited.
Generate promote, yeah, exactly. That's kind of a cool idea.
I think it's ballsy. I mean, like, I think the fear is that, you know, it'll be really bad. People will immediately say, this sucks. I don't want
to
watch this.
Right, it kind of gets everyone a chance to play critic.
Yeah. But if, I know, for example, I'm really kind of interested in Studio 60. I've heard good things about it.
Yeah, you and Eric love to talk about it. What is it about again?
I don't know.
Studios
and shit. I don't know. Number 47 or 60.
Why not just release it online, though? Why not YouTube it?
Because, well, actually, I think they are actually planning on releasing clips of it on YouTube. Because you can only have 10 minute clips on YouTube.
Well, color me douchey.
And I think they're going to sell it on iTunes beforehand. Good for them, though.
Right? Great idea. I like it.
It's ballsy.
I like it. I like having access to stuff, you know, time shifting my programs and stuff, and this gives me a chance to do it before I would have otherwise been able to see.
Yeah. Then now you're officially like a trendsetter and you talk about stuff.
Cool. Might be interesting. Cool. So I imagine 6 weeks before the fall lineup, we're going to be hearing more from you about.
Yeah, since I do not have that.
We've got the
inner waves.
Cool.
All right. Your hoe.
My hoe is George W. Bush.
Oh, a twofer.
Yeah, so, of course, this week, his big first veto of his first 5.5 years in office was to veto the stem cell research additional government funding of stem cell research. Of course, Bush's position has been made clear in his defense, I guess. They should have known he was going to.
Dancing.
But, so, I guess his stance is that it's the government's job to protect the human lives that we're protecting, and they think that, you know, embryonic stem cells, embryos that are fertilized, are worth protecting, like, begin to conception, etc., etc. You know, that is a point of view that many Americans. I don't have it, but what makes me aggravated about this, why I think Bush is a ho, is that he walks a tightrope between saying, these are lives, I'm pro-life, but, you know, culture of death is wrong, blah, blah, and all that rhetoric, and between the rhetoric of, you know, need to help save people and what's actually, you know, who are already alive, by giving creating a new avenue and funding a new avenue of research that may lead to cures for diseases, et cetera, et cetera. So there are sort of two lines, and he's basically walking in the middle, making sort of a center that's wishy-washy.
You pick a side.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm a bit, but I speak to them.
It's hard. I mean, now, maybe you can answer something. Did he just do it for embryonic stem cells, or is it all stem cell funding?
No, it's only embryonic stem cells. So adult stem cells, not the science behind it. Adults, they shed stem cells from their embryos, and you can just pluck them. I don't know how it works, but somehow you can harvest.
I cry it every night.
You can harvest stem cells from adults. I don't know that, you know, the arguments are that the research is different, that you can come up with different
results. It's harder to extract the stem cells from adults.
That could be.
I think that's the big problem. Like, you can do it similarly, but it's much more difficult.
Right. Yeah. So Bush is a hypocrite. That's what
I'm hypocrite.
Saying. He's a jerk. Hopefully he'll say funny shit this week.
By the way, you see the picture that I'm going to use?
Yeah.
With the snowflake babies? Oh, the snowflake babies.
God, I love snowflake babies.
That is the funniest term ever. So he announces this, but he has, like, a collection of, like, children that were frozen embryos that were being kept and could have been used for embryonic stem cells, but instead were later fertilized and developed into children. So he had this collection of snowflake babies behind them that they're called.
why do they call them snowflake babies? I don't understand the analogy.
Because they're frozen.
Because they were frozen?
Because they were frozen.
That's ridiculous.
Isn't that the best term? So anyway, the picture is, like, in the background, it's this little girl, and she, like, puts up her finger like that, and her mom goes, no! Like, so the picture is, like, a screen grab of this, like, 4-year-old flipping off the cameras.
The snowflake baby flipping off George.
Exactly. My ho is Comcast. For the reason that, okay, we talked about this on Knowledge of Power a few weeks ago with the sleepy repairman. Did you hear about this?
Sleepy. Oh, the guy. Yeah.
He was on hold with Comcast. He was hooking up the cable box, fell asleep, and was videotaped, and it kind of became an internet sensation.
Right.
So. NBC, or I'm sorry, ABC's Nightline did a story about, like, consumerism on the net and how, like, consumers now have, like, more of a voice to say, like, you know, bad service and blah, 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 and they talked about the AOL stuff. So, they ended with this little piece about the sleepy repairman, and on Comcast networks nationwide, as soon as they said the word Comcast, the screen went black.
For, like, that split second, like, and it came right back? Or it like, we're experiencing technical difficulties?
Sort of, no.
Please hold on.
For that entire, so it, they said, like, here's another thing from Comcast, and it went black, and then as soon as the report ended, like, as they were wrapping up, service came back.
That is...
Now, the official story is that it was an ABC technical error, blah, 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 but it only happened on Comcast networks, and it only happened during the Comcast segment. So it sounds very suspicious.
No, that is suspicious. So now I'm of the opinion that censorship is not when Comcast censors or when NBC censors their production of their shows to say, you know, you can't use this language and you can't say this. Now that may be censorship, but that's not as offensive to me as
outright.
What I consider censorship is when the government tells you. Says,
right.
Impingements on free speech that are not coming from private sources.
Is what this is purely a private.
Right. Which is, to me, it's just, you know, that's Comcast exercising its right to control the program. But.
Still not right.
This is not Comcast's media, right?
I mean, right. It's not their.
They're just distributing it.
Exactly.
And you're paying them to distribute the media produced by
right now,
else.
You're putting all this information on a truck. That Comcast owns and
right.
drives to your house.
And it drops the truck, unloads on my computer.
Exactly.
Through
it was actually it was only on their TV over the internet service. So it wasn't terribly widespread, but it was still pretty there.
I'm shocked into silence.
Shocked into silence. Though that so Comcast is up there.
Yeah, that's
yet again. I think that's like the third or fourth.
Yeah, media companies stink.
They suck.
Except when they team together with Netflix. Crazy shit.
There you go.
Cool.
Cool. Now, last segment, TWWWF, Things With Whom We Wish We Were Friends, a little segment where we find people or things that are doing really amazing, awesome things we wish we'd come up with first, but we didn't, so instead, we wish that we were friends with
them. Okay, my TWWWWF is... The Google Earth blog. It's at geearthblog.com. So for those of you who don't know, Google Earth is this amazing application that you can download. I think now on both Windows and OS X for Mac operating systems. And what it does is it uses the Google Maps feature, which has an extensive library of satellite photographs of the Earth. In your neighborhood, you can scroll down and look at your car parked in the driveway somewhere on May 12th, 1999. Whatever it is you want to look at, you can go explore mountains and crags and stuff like that. So crags. So the Google Earth blog is sort of a compilation of different links and applications that are related to Google Earth. So Google Earth is sort of customizable in that you can create tags. For example, if you want to create a tour of different the seven wonders in the world, if they still exist, you could put little a digital pin into a push board of a map of the globe, and you could use the application to guide through a walk, a walkthrough of all these different places you have where you put the pins in, and that, it's sort of cool. You fly around, it animates in 3D, and it's the Earth, and you feel like geography.
You feel like geography.
Now, the Google Earth blog has a lot of these things. Let me just read a couple of the sort of the headlines of how they used Google Earth to track things. One of them is the Israel-Lebanon conflict illustrated in Google Earth. And this is kind of cool. It has, little tags at different places where major events that have been going on in this conflict, just throughout history since the conflict started.
Which was May 7th, 1980.
1980. it has little pinpricks, and then you click on it, and it brings up, a news story from that date of what happened. The bomb went off. And another one is track of escaped convict in high-speed chase in Google Earth. So it has, a map of, high-speed chase that was going on,
major...
Yeah, of, some convicts who's, here's the prison where he escaped from. It had, little, time codes and, when he escaped and where he was spotted and where, it was done, live, kind of.
Where he dropped off his clothes.
Right, so it was, still blocked live, so, as he was still escaping, you could click on where he is at any... where he was last spotted.
America's Most Wanted Live.
Yeah, it's like playing detective. I like
it. That is very cool. Cool. My T6WF is Michael J. Nelson, who you might remember from Mystery Science Theater 3000. For those of you who don't know Mystery Science Theater 3000, it was a guy and two robots basically sitting in front of an old, really campy, bad movie and making fun of it, just kind of interjecting their own commentary in the middle of it.
Great show.
Great show. Went off the air, 99, 2000?
Yeah. Their boots.
Their boots. The big reason went off the air is because it was so difficult for them to secure the rights to these movies. Very expensive. So, went off the air. Now, Mike Nelson, the head writer and star of the show, has come out with something called Riff Tracks, which you can get at rifftracks.com. For $1.99, you can download the MP3 Riff Track, non-DRM'd, by the way. Wow. You rent or buy a copy of Roadhouse, because that's all they have right now is a movie Roadhouse is available. Pop in the DVD, and while listening to the riff tracks on your iPod, you can enjoy it like Mystery Science Theater never went away.
This is a phenomenal movie.
Isn't this the best idea ever?
Yeah, I am so happy you told me about this. That this is like bringing MST3K back to life. I'm a little worried that it won't last forever, because obviously it takes a lot of work for them to go through and write all the jokes.
Right.
Put this out there. But I am definitely going to sign up for Netflix, rent movies that they make fun of, and buy these $1.99 tracks. Yeah. Have a party next Saturday coming up to watch this.
Exactly. There we go. Okay, I'm doing that. I'm down with that. So right now all they have is the movie Roadhouse. They have a poll for what they want to riff next, which is... looks like Matrix is winning, followed by Showgirls, Fight Club, Sixth Sense, Minority Report, Rocky, Triple X, Cocktail, and Wild Things.
This is such good news. This is a happy day.
This is happy. So, but if you look at it, there's been 5,500 votes. So, if 5,500 people have voted, conceivably, half of those people have actually bought the Riff Track. So that's, at $2 a pop, that's
$1 million.
That's $1 million.
I'm no accountant. But.
But if you do know math, that's $1 million.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good source of income for him. He's going to find profitable. It's a sustainable. All he has to do is do it once. And it's consistent money.
I like it.
All right. That's it for this week. If you want to check out any of these stories or any other cool and fun stuff, head on over to our website, whatevs.net. Or you can check out all the stuff that that we check out on our Delicious page. That's del.icio.us/knowledgeispower. If you want to check out any of my stuff, that's delicious/knowledgeispower/Greg. And if you want to check out any of Andy's stuff,
you can't.
You're shit out of luck. But if you want to check out Eric's stuff, this will be back next week. It's knowledgeispower. delicious/knowledgeispower/Eric. So, as always, that's it. There's a lot of cool stuff out there, but we know what's best for you. Thanks a lot, everyone.
Bye-bye.